Climate change. It's unequivocal. Many of the changes are unprecedented, and a consensus of the world's scientists is now at least 95% certain that humans are contributing to global warming. These are the key findings of the latest IPCC report on the science of climate change, and they increase pressure for a new global climate treaty by 2015. Dr. Bjørn Lomborg is the director of the Copenhagen's Consensus Centre. He's long argued that the solution to cutting carbon emissions lies with green technology, not carbon taxes. And he's in New York and he's with us now. Welcome back to RN Breakfast, Bjorn.
Thank you. It's good to be on, James.
You want this report to be a springboard to, quote, a more realistic and constructive climate conversation. What do you want to see?
Well, exactly. I mean, listen, there is a real problem, but the way that we've been trying to tackle it for the last 20 years hasn't really worked. We tried the Kyoto Protocol. We tried to get a big global agreement in Copenhagen in 2009. And it's just really hard to get people to cut their carbon emissions because, remember, we don't burn fossil fuels to annoy Al Gore. We burn them because they really power everything we like about society. So what we have to do is to find a way to make green energy so cheap that eventually everyone, also Chinese and Indians, will want to buy it. So instead of these treaties where we say, could you please burn a little less fossil fuels, we should focus on ramping up innovation so that green energy becomes so cheap everyone just wants to buy them.
In the past, you've been critical of IPCC reports for being alarmist. Do you see this one as more moderate or more even-handed?
I've actually not criticized the UN for being alarmist. I think they have produced pretty good reports, and they're very middle of the road. But I've been accusing a lot of the people who really want to do good with climate for being alarmist, for, you know, ramping up the message to get people to listen. I understand that argument, but the problem is we've been panicking for 20 years, and we've essentially made really bad policies for 20 years. So it's not about saying it's not a problem, but it's about finding a smarter way forward. And that doesn't come through alarm. That comes through measured, pragmatic arguments of saying what actually works. And unfortunately, it's not the sort of Kyoto-style approaches that Europe and others have tried, but it's much more through innovation of clean, green energy.
The UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon has called for countries to bring strong pledges to cut emissions to a UN climate summit next year. Do you agree with him?
Well, this has been the UN's preferred solution for at least 10, maybe even 20 years. And I understand that they have just decided we're not going to leave that argument. Obviously, it'd be great if we could get everyone to cut carbon emissions, but it's just not going to happen simply, again, because it has a huge cost for individual, not a huge cost, but a significant cost for individual countries on only a tiny benefit 100 years from now. That's really why it's so hard to get countries to agree on this. So instead of trying for a failed policy to, you know, repeat it all over again for 2015, we should try for something that has a much better chance of working, that's cheaper and much more effective. We asked some of the world's top climate economists, 27 top climate economists, we had 3 Nobel laureates, to look across all the different places and said, where can you get the biggest bang for your climate buck? And they all said, don't try to cut carbon emissions now because it costs a lot, it does a little good. Try to invest a lot more in research and development instead in green energy. For every dollar you invest, you avoid about $11 of climate damage.
So you don't even necessarily see anything worthwhile coming from a UN climate summit next year?
Well, I mean, if they just continue, I mean, there's a lot in the UN that's been trying to say, you know, we failed at Kyoto, we failed in Copenhagen, let's try it again in Paris in 2015. I mean, it's a valiant approach, but at some point you've got to say, all right, this approach isn't working. So I would love to see a global meeting. I would love to see a global treaty, but I think it's much more realistic. Instead of having another round of pledges that we're then going to break, we should make pledges that we can keep and that are much more economically viable. That should be pledges to dramatically ramp up our investment in green R&D. Because if we could make solar panels, wind turbines, and all the other amazing technologies that are out there right now, but that are still too expensive, if we could make them cheaper than fossil fuels in the next 2 to 4 decades, we could basically get everyone to switch away from fossil fuels and towards green energy. And the trick here is to realize it's only going to happen when they're cheap enough. As long as they're expensive, and we can get a few well-meaning Westerners, a few well-meaning Australians to pay extra money for subsidies, but we won't actually change the global energy economy.
What about the argument that the best way to get renewables cheaper is to price fossil fuel electricity, like coal-generated electricity, with a carbon tax?
Well, any economist would tell you, in principle, you should have a carbon tax, yes. But you should also have it at the level that is the damage. The best meta-studies of the damage indicate that the right carbon tax is probably in the order of $5 per ton. But the problem is, even if you manage to get this, and remember, it has had virtually no ability in the U.S., and it certainly created a political backlash in Australia as a good example, even if you manage to get it, it wouldn't do very much to solve the problem. So while it's a theoretically correct argument, it's unfortunately, even if you manage to do it, a very poor way to move forward. And of course, in reality, it just leads to incredible political polarization. So again, I think we're sort of barking up the wrong tree if we try to say, oh, let's get back to our carbon tax and that will solve everything. No, what we need is technology. If we get technology that will be innovated down so that it's cheaper than fossil fuels, we will actually solve this problem. If we don't get that technology, we'll never solve this problem.
Where will that technology come from, though, if there's no business model to make it happen?
Well, that's the problem that we've seen over the last 20 years. We're still far away from having green energy be widely competitive. Everywhere, or almost everywhere, you still need significant subsidies. That's why, you know, even in Europe, where we've had long subsidies for almost 20 years now, we probably get about 1% of our energy from wind turbines, and wind is by far the biggest contributor. So fundamentally, it makes us feel good, and we spend a lot of money on it. We're estimating that by 2020, the European Union will spend about $250 billion a year, and yet the impact will be very, very tiny. So the reality here is it's not about trying to get a business case for it right now. It's about getting government funding into research so that we can actually develop the new generations of these technologies so that eventually they will become cheaper. I would love for this to work next year, but it's just not going to happen. And what we really have to ask ourselves is, do we want to play another 10 or 20 years for the same policy failures that we've done the last 20 years? Or do we want to try to find a new track that has a much better chance of solving this problem in the medium term?
And that new track will involve government spending and lots of it to fund or subsidize that R&D.
Absolutely. But again, don't buy a lot. You know, if you look at the German government, Germany has spent more money than any other country on solar panels. And they probably committed to spending about $130 billion on solar panels, the net effect of which will be to postpone global warming by the end of the century by 37 hours. So in reality, they've spent $130 billion on something that we just can't even measure the impact of. I would much rather have seen them spend that $130 billion on research and development into better solar panels. They've spent most of the money on just putting up solar panels to feel good. But of course, we already knew those solar panels weren't working. So what we should have done was to focus on getting better generations of solar panels. And yes, that will take time. But the reality is that's the only way we can fix global warming.
The IPCC has allocated this global carbon budget that says we need to stay within that budget internationally if we're to avoid 2 degrees or more of warming. Two-thirds of that has already been emitted. From the sounds of what you're saying, though, Australia should still go ahead with things like the Bowen Basin coal development. We're the largest exporter of thermal coal. Even though that budget would suggest we should keep that in the ground, you suggest export it and burn it, and that'll free up capital for us to do the R&D to offset it.
Well, I think we should be more realistic. It's true that they've made these carbon budgets, and we've made those actually for almost a decade. And yes, if you want to stay within the 2 degrees limit, we should basically cut carbon emissions now and dramatically and around the world. Now, that'd be nice, but it's just not going to happen. And so the reality here is, do we want to continue making promises and then not seeing them happen, but not having a solution in place? Or do we want to spend the money on research and development and have a much better chance to fix this over the coming decades? But the truth is, I think almost everyone you ask, certainly if you ask them off the record in this climate debate, are we going to make the 2-degree limit? The answer is no. And so pretending that we're going to do that and then making policy from that pretension, I think, is just simply ignoring reality. Most countries are just not going to give up on fossil fuels as long as they're the cheapest energy source and the one that actually brings them a lot of benefits. So the reality is we have to find a better way to get green energy going.
Bjørn Lomborg, thank you very much indeed.
Thanks.
And Dr. Lomborg, the director of the Copenhagen Consensus Center. Later this morning, we will take a look more closely at the science contained in the latest IPCC report. The full 2,000-page report is due out later today.